morning, church.
I see everybody has left the platform here, so I guess it's time for our message. And Thule and Will, thank you, and Sandra for that song. Thule and I went to Roseburg Junior Academy together. And Sandra, you've been a longtime friend with my folks over the years. So thank you for participating with that song. Will, thank you, Thule's husband. Thule, your voice hasn't changed in all these years. It's beautiful. It's actually gotten better. That's what it's gotten better. And congratulations to those who were baptized, rebaptized today. Heaven rejoices today, doesn't it? Whenever a soul gives surrender to the Lord Jesus, heaven rejoices. It is a privilege to be here again this morning in my home church, where I was baptized in that baptistry some number of years ago. It was April 1, 1972, April Fool's Day. And you know, like Paul said, I became a fool for the cross that day. Those who are being lost consider the cross foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is eternal life. Amen? What a Savior we have. What a Father in heaven we have. What a comfort in the Holy Spirit. We need them. We need them all three. Something's humming. I don't know what it is. All right. This morning, as we have gathered here to worship, my mother, Arlene, is on my mind. As you know, 7 weeks ago, she passed away. And it was a heartache. Today here, this afternoon, we will celebrate her life. And as I think about her passing, and I think about her hope in the coming of Jesus, I have hope today, too. How about you? We're going to focus on that hope this morning as we worship. Before we continue in our worship, let's bow our heads for prayer. Shall we do that? Father in heaven, I thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we have hope and it burns. Yes, it burns within our hearts. We long for that day that it will come sooner than later. We've been preaching for over 170 years that Jesus is coming soon, and that day is approaching much quicker now than we first believed. So today, Father, as I share this message, I plead with you that I will speak your words through the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that each ear listening and each mind comprehending will hear the gospel this morning, renew their commitment either for the first time or the thousandth time to the Lord Jesus. Our hope and our security for the future, we pray in his name. Amen. I look into this sanctuary and I see many faces, faces that I know, new faces that I don't know, but I've preached here enough times here in the last few years that I think I know this church. It's so good to be back here in Roseburg. I'm so glad my folks didn't move to Vancouver. They would have been in Vancouver and Mom would have become ill, and then they would have been in a whole church of strangers. I'm so glad we're here still at home. Home is important, is it not? And there's a home we're going to. Oh my, I can hardly wait for that home. When Jesus comes to take us to that home. I think of Sister White, who had a vision of our eternal home long ago, and she was asking the angel if she could eat from that tree, from the tree of life, the fruit. And he said, no, you can't eat from that yet. People who eat from that tree don't die. They don't. They never leave here. You'll have to wait. Go back and tell everybody what you've seen, and then someday when we come back, you could eat from that tree, and they will eat from that tree, and you will live forever. Oh, I long for that, don't you? I can hardly wait to eat off the tree of life. I had a good friend, Bill Smith, who was a youth pastor I worked with at PUC, Pacific Union College, years ago. And he used to tell me that there's going to be 12 variety of mangoes on that tree. He grew up in India, so he knew what mangoes were like. So maybe, perhaps, that's what we'll have. But it will be a variety of fruit with life surging through them. This last month has been something else, has it not? They say that there have been 500 tornadoes in the month of May across this country. They're saying it is unprecedented. They've never seen anything like this. Communities devastated, knocked down, nothing left. 500 tornadoes in 30 days. They call it a war zone. I've never experienced a tornado, but I've seen the results, and it's ugly. 30 days have been 500 tornadoes, schools knocked down, roofs taken right off. Look at this map here on the screen. In May, that's the tornadoes that swooped across the country, 500 of them, devastating, taking homes, futures. What pain. The weather has been reporting they've never seen anything like this. But Jesus told us it was coming, didn't he? So we shouldn't be surprised. But it still hurts. Devastation we cannot understand. Look at these cars. I mean, they're just like, you know, Matchbox cars, or was it Hot Wheels we used to play with? Just like toys. It's been flooding across the nation. Devastation. What in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? A few mornings ago, I awoke, and this is not a picture of me. I just found this picture. I'm going to use it to illustrate me. I awoke one morning here just a couple weeks ago, and you know, as you wake up, you don't want to get out of bed, right? You just want to stay there. But as I awoke, I had a despairing thought, and I was saying, Lord, in my prayer, help me, guide me through this day. And a scripture came to my memory. I couldn't figure out where it was, but the words were there somehow, but they were garbled up and mixed up. And I said, Lord, where are those words? I couldn't find them. I couldn't remember how it went so I could look it up. And I was in the restroom getting ready to brush my teeth, and I was still praying, Lord, help me to know where that scripture is you've awakened me with. And all of a sudden, as I was ready to brush my teeth, a word came to my mind, surfeiting. Surfeiting. Well, that's a strange word. The Holy Spirit, I could tell, was the one putting it there in my mind, surfeiting. Not a word that we use very often, is it? And so I got out my concordance on my cell phone, my smartphone. You know, they've got all kinds of things on there now. And I looked up the word surfeiting. And I found it in Luke 21:34 in the King James Version, surfeiting. It's the only time this word is used in the New Testament. It comes from a Greek word that is only used once as well, surfeiting. And I read the passage and I said, yes, those are the words. And remember Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor that he would send, would bring to our minds the things that he had said? That's exactly what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was bringing to my mind the things that Jesus had said. This only one time this word was used, and I put the passage up on the screen. This passage is a parallel to Matthew 24, but it's from Luke chapter 21. Notice the words, and take heed. These are the words of Jesus. So listen, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, there's the word surfeiting, and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Now there's the word surfeiting, right in the middle of that passage. I wanted to know what surfeiting meant. So I looked it up in some dictionaries, and I looked it up also in some other versions to see what surfeiting might mean. And I looked in the New International Version, a very modern version, as you know, and I looked at that passage, and here is what it said. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, there's surfeiting, drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. Carousing, surfeiting. The day that Jesus is speaking of there is the day when he comes again. And so be careful not to have your hearts weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life, that that day may close on you suddenly like a trap. We'll come back to that word surfeiting here and carousing here in a minute, but Jesus goes on to say, for it will come on all those, how many? How many? All those who live on the face of the what? The whole earth. Everyone is going to be caught in this moment. Some will be caught like a trap. Some will come through it, as we will read here in the words that Jesus continues. Be always on the what? Watch and pray that you may be able to escape that which is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand, to what? Stand before the Son of Man. Now there's a promise in those words, that if we're careful not to be carousing or surfeiting with the cares of this life, that we'll be able to stand. Now you may look at the word surfeiting and carousing and drunkenness and say to yourself, oh good, I don't drink. I don't get drunk. I know better than that. But I want you to understand there's something deeper about that word than just drunkenness. One of the definitions is giddiness, silliness, being your mind being filled with all kinds of clutter. Do you ever feel that way in your mind? Do you ever get filled with all kinds of anxieties and disturbing thoughts? This is a warning not just to people who are out there partying in bars. This is speaking to his disciples, to the church. He's speaking to us. Be careful, lest at any time your hearts are overcharged with surfeiting, and we can get drunk with that kind of overwhelming thoughts, and the cares of this life or the anxieties of this life, so that day come upon you unawares or catch you like a trap. Do we find ourselves surfeiting by the sin of gossip and spreading rumors about each other to other people? That's what Jesus is warning us about. Or the cares and the anxieties of this life, where we're constantly on the go, 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 shop, 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 bye, 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 that we've got to be somehow better than our neighbor or our relative. We surf it on our smartphones. I mean, that's, Jesus probably is looking in that in our day thinking, man, someday they're going to be having these. And there's nothing wrong with them. There's a lot of information. I use one too. But we can spend so much time that we do not pay attention to what's going on around us. Jesus said to watch, to be alert. Some are overwhelmed and surfeit with their focus on all the games and the events taking place in stadiums to the point where they look ridiculous. Some are overwhelmed by the stock market and the numbers. They watch it daily to see what's coming. They watch the bell as it rings there in Wall Street. They're overwhelmed by the surfeiting, the carousing, how the bull is doing in the marketplace. And that day will take upon them as a trap. Some are surfeiting constantly politically. I've done that in the past. What's the election going to bring? Some surfeit and get anxiety about the general conference sessions coming up in 2020. What will happen with this issue or that issue? Who to ordain? Who not to ordain? Who to be? Who's in charge? Who's accountable? Always looking for the issues that overwhelm us when we need to be watching, keeping our eyes in the Scripture on the truth that Jesus indeed is coming soon. Can you say amen to that? So that that day will not come upon us as a trap. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that they will close upon you suddenly like a trap. I combined two translations there together. It's a wake-up call to us as a church. Do you believe that? It's a time to be alert. What in the world is going on? We need to be alert. That's what we need to be doing. Not in fear, not in trepidation, but in rejoicing that we know that our Savior is soon to come. When I was 13 years old, I was a student over here at Roseburg Junior Academy. And I worked in the library for Mrs. Whiting. How many of you remember Mrs. Whiting? Yes. Oh, man, I love Mrs. Whiting. And she gave me a gift for Christmas. She gave me a modern translation of the Bible called the Good News Bible. It had just come off the press. Oh, I was excited. I could read that Bible, and I could read it in my own language, and I could understand it. Until I came across the book of Daniel, and I was reading through the book of Daniel at age 13. Can you imagine that? Mr. Starkeybaum was my teacher. How many of you remember Mr. Starkeybaum? Yeah, of course you do. When we heard that name, Mr. Starkeybaum was going to be our teacher, oh, we laughed. We thought, what kind of name is that? Well, he was one of our best teachers, Mr. Strongtree Starkeybaum. And I was reading in the book of Daniel, and I came to Daniel chapter 12, and the words there in this Good News version didn't make sense, and so I pulled out my King James Bible to compare, and I read it there, and it didn't even make, it made it worse, and I thought, oh, no. And here's what I read there in the scriptures in Daniel chapter 12. And I have shared this with you in a past sermon several years ago, but I've got more detail this morning I will share with you later. And I read these words, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people." Oh, that's good news, isn't it, Michael? Our high priest is going to stand up. He's not going to take this one sitting down. "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time." And as I read those words, I said, this is talking about the time just before Jesus comes. And at 13, I got excited, and I wanted to read more. I didn't realize the book of Daniel had a message like this about the end of the time and Jesus coming. And so I thought about what's coming, a time of trouble, time such as never was. Daniel's speaking about this. Jesus had quoted this in Matthew 24. You know, Jesus, by the way, believed that Daniel was a prophet. Did you know that? You know, there's some modern scholars who believe that Daniel wasn't a prophet, that he wrote these things, or somebody else wrote them after the fact. But Daniel wrote his prophecies hundreds of years before they took place. And Jesus called him a prophet. And if Jesus can call the prophet Daniel a prophet, can I believe that he's a prophet? I can. I trust Jesus, don't you? Yeshua, Savior, Lord, Christ, Messiah. And I continue to read the words there in Daniel 12. "And at that time your people shall be delivered." Well, that's good news, isn't it? "Everyone who is found written in the what? The book." What book? The book of life. I was so excited as I was reading these words. Words of prophecy. And many of those who sleep, oh, these are comforting words right now. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall what? Awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. When my mother Arlene was laying in her bed on hospice care, dying from that pancreatic tumor, she said, if he doesn't heal me, I'm ready to go to sleep. I'm ready to sleep through what's coming and to wake up. Well, those are words of comfort, aren't they, today? Comfort to family that's here. We've got about 60 family here that have come to join us, cousins that I haven't seen for years, aunts and uncles, friends. And those, and many of those who sleep, listen, sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake. Don't forget that promise, friends. Death is only a temporary situation. Daniel continues, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Oh, I was getting so charged up as I read this scripture at age 13. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel 12, 1 through 4. When I read those words at age 13, I was so charged up and so excited, because I thought, here's Daniel saying the very same things that Jesus had said, that he's coming again. And that our names, if written in the book of life, will indicate that we're going to be there. And I was so charged up and excited by those words at 13. And I thank Mrs. Whiting for the Bible that I could compare with. But then I continued to read at Daniel 12. As the chapter wasn't over, I thought, well, what's coming up yet? And so I continued to read, and the words are on the screen. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Oh, I thought, this is exciting. The Bible's even getting better. Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever. Who lives forever? God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who lives forever. That it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. And I remember I said, what? It shall be for a time, time, and half a time? During this time of trouble before Jesus comes? I said, Lord, that can't be. We can't go through another 1,260 years. It troubled me. I continued reading. Daniel said, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Oh, I could relate to Daniel. He didn't understand. I didn't understand. I mean, that it should be for a time, times, and half a time. Another 1,260 years, day for year principle. I continued to read. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time, what? Of the end. Well, I know that we've been living in the time of the end, but we are even closer now than when I was 13. And I continue to read, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And I said, Lord, I want to understand. I want to know. I want to comprehend what you're saying here. And from the time that the daily sacrifice, it should be just the daily, is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. I thought, what is this all about? I've never heard about these time frames. I've heard of 1260, but not 1290. And I kept on reading, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Now I was really confused, and so was Daniel. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. When I read that passage at age 13, my eyes got big. I couldn't understand this time, times and half a time, or 1,260 days. I couldn't understand this 1,290 days. I couldn't understand this 1,335 days. What in the world was the Bible talking about? I looked in commentaries, I looked in books. Nobody had an answer. I looked in books and commentaries from that time when I was 13. I saw a promise in the Adventist commentary that said that we may not understand it now, but maybe in the future, new light will come and we'll understand this. I thought, well, I hope so. And I kept searching. That's 13, when I was 13. That's over 40 years ago. And I've been searching for an answer for 40-some years, looking in commentaries, trying to understand these three timelines and what was their order and how did they work. I don't have time to go into all the details this morning, but I finally, in my study, found another way to look at those timelines and in this order that's on the screen. And it started to make more sense. It started to make more sense that these 1,260 times had a special meaning for us here. And I discovered that the word there used in Daniel 12 for time, times, and half a time was from the Hebrew word moed, which means an appointed time. And in Daniel chapter 7, where time, time, and half a time shows up again, Daniel 7:25, the word is from Aramaic, and it's Edan, and it means literal time. So there were two different timelines here, two different languages. I had the privilege of returning to Andrews University here in 2012 to 2016 to study again for my master's degree, which had been cut off when I had been on a trip in 1986 there at Andrews to Mexico. And you know the story, how I was involved in a small plane crash. My time of study there at the seminary was cut short. I was in that plane crash and broke my back, and that's why I walk with the crutches. My mother was there with me in the hospital in San Diego when I was in a comatose state, speaking to me. There's my mother, Arlene. You can see her picture on the screen. So I'd gone back to Andrews to study, to get my Master's of Divinity completed. And as I studied for that Master's, one of the things that I was assigned to in that study time, and I praise God for this, that I had to go back, was in my class for exegesis, it was from the book of Daniel. I couldn't get into the Isaiah course or the Ezekiel course, but Daniel was open. So I went into that course, and the assignment was to take a passage, to take a chapter of the book of Daniel and exegete it. And I'm not going to go into all that exegesis, but I was asking, should I look at Daniel 12? Was this God giving me the opportunity here at the seminary to look at Daniel 12? And so I chose Daniel 12 to look at those timelines from the end. What in the world do they mean? I've been studying now for 15-some years on this passage, including my time at Andrews. And I discovered one truth about the festivals of Israel, the Passover, the unleavened bread, the wave sheaf, first fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. That all those timelines that Israel honored every year, they pointed to the life and ministry of our Savior Jesus. And that just as Jesus had fulfilled literally to the day, the Passover when he was sacrificed, to wave sheaf when he was resurrected, to Pentecost when the when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, that all these days happened right on time. And the indication is that Jesus will come on time in a future Feast of Tabernacles. Wow. You know, it says in John chapter 1 that Jesus came and tabernacled with his people when he was born. You look at the timeline of the baptism of John the Baptist, the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus some 6 months apart, and it indicates that Jesus was born in the fall of the year around a Feast of Tabernacles, and he came and tabernacled with his people. And he's going to come again, I believe, on a Feast of Tabernacles in the near future and tabernacle with us again. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen? As I began to study more and more, and I put some of these timelines from Daniel chapter 12 together with the Feast of Israel, and I'm not a feast keeper, don't get worried here. But as I looked at these timelines in the Feast of Israel, I began to discover and understand better Daniel chapter 12. And you can look at that screen up there and try to dissect it if you want, but I'm not going to go into the details because we don't have time here. But the one element about that passage that is concerning is that I believe that for 3.5 years, a time and a half a time, in the middle of the time of trouble, that Satan is going to appear as if he were Jesus. I want you to notice these words of warning from Jesus himself, Matthew 24, verses 23 to 27. We read from Matthew 24 in our scripture this morning, but notice these words on the screen from Matthew 24. Jesus said, who did I say said this? Jesus. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. First of all, Jesus is coming from the east to the west like lightning flashes. Everybody will notice this. I remember years ago, Debbie and I were at Three Angels Broadcasting Network, and we stayed in the guest room there, and they had an electrical storm that night. A thunderstorm, lightning storm. I'd never heard thunder like that in the Midwest. It shook that building. It boom, boom, boom. There were two guest beds in there, and there were twin beds. I don't know why they had it like that, but I was so scared, I jumped into Debbie's little twin bed. Hold me, hold me. She's from Michigan. She said, this is great. It'll pass. I said, I don't like this. The building was shaking. I've gotten used to lightning storms now, but I didn't like that. But Jesus said, as lightning flashes from the east to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. He continues, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and shall show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you what? Beforehand. So if anybody says, look, Christ is here, he's come, don't believe it. He goes on to say, therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. So Jesus is coming with glory in the clouds like lightning and thunder. He's not going to be in the desert. He's not going to be in some inner room. Now notice here, I'm going to bring that passage up again. Therefore, if they say, look, he's in the desert, or not in, or do not look, or if he's in the inner room, do not believe it. I'm going to ask you a question. Where is the most prevalent inner room in our homes? The bathroom? No, it's not the bathroom. Jesus is not coming in the bathroom. Is it not in the inner room where we all have televisions? And what happens if you're watching your television show on one night and all of a sudden the screen goes static and then there's an alert, breaking news alert, and the news broadcaster comes on the screen and he says that Jesus has appeared in Washington or New York or Los Angeles and he's talking and he's come. Turn that TV off right then and don't look, because I tell you what, when Satan comes and masquerades as Jesus, if he's on the television news and you pay attention to it, you could be hooked in to that deception. Jesus said, don't look. Jesus came literally 2,000 years ago and he healed the sick. He raised the dead, Jairus' daughter. He raised there at the empty tomb there of, well, it wasn't empty, it was a tomb of Lazarus. He said, roll away the stone. Martha said, Lord, he stinketh, it's been 4 days. Roll the stone away. And Jesus, with his powerful voice of the archangel, said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that tomb alive. And he said, unwrap him. He is the resurrection and the life. He fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. He died for us on Calvary's cross. He rose from the grave. And because he rose, we have life. We have hope. And my friends, if on this day you desire to surrender again to the Lord Jesus and let him, in a sense, hold you and forgive your sins, and write your name in heaven's book of life, then no matter what is going on here on earth with all the mess, with all the storms, with all the chaos, you don't have to live in fear, because we are nearing the coming of Jesus. It's like those little rivets on the road. Slow down. Jesus is coming. You're getting closer. Slow down. Slow down. And there's the stop sign. As we come to that stop sign, and on that stop sign, that's when history will stop, when Jesus comes again. Oh, I long for that day. How about you? When he comes again to fill the sky. If that's your desire today, to be reunited with him, to have your name written in the book of life like our brother and sister did this morning, whether it's through baptism or just surrender, I invite you to bow your head with me right now as we surrender to him, the King of life, who's coming, my friends, I believe very, very soon, in fulfillment of Daniel's prophecies. Father in heaven, today we thank you for this day. This day of hope, this day of life, this day of resurgence. And I ask you in the name of Jesus that you will write our names in heaven's book of life. If that's your desire right now, friends, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand and Jesus will write your name there again. He's coming for you because he knows your name. Jesus indeed is coming again. What a Savior. We praise this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. As we close our service today, let's stand together as we sing the words of this awesome hymn, Jesus is Coming Again. The words will be on the screen. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Ladies, join us here at the front to lead us.
Why don't you sing with us?
Okay, I'll sing with you.
Yeah.
Is coming again.
in heaven, this morning we believe that Jesus indeed is coming again. Please write our names in heaven's book of life and prepare us for that day. We thank you in his name. Amen. Ladies, if you stay by here for a moment. 3 o'clock, we're going to have the service here to remember my mom. I'd like to invite all of you. And as I exit the platform here, I have to go up these back stairs where there's a banister and I get down. Would you just sing the next hymn, 214, We Have This Hope That Burns Within Our Hearts. As you sing that while we exit here this morning.
Two 214 in your hymnals.